Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Zen Flesh, Zen Bones by Paul Reps is a compact gateway into classic Zen and pre-Zen teachings presented through short texts, koans, parables, and traditional narratives. Rather than offering a step-by-step course, the book invites readers into the atmosphere of Zen, where insight is often sparked by a brief exchange, an unexpected action, or a simple story that points beyond concepts. Reps gathers well-known strands of Japanese Zen lore alongside earlier sources that shaped Zen culture, creating a mosaic of material meant to be contemplated, not merely understood. The collection is frequently approached as a bedside book or a long-term companion, because its pieces can be read in minutes yet linger in the mind for hours. Readers encounter themes such as emptiness and form, non-attachment, direct experience, disciplined practice, and the humor and sharpness of Zen teachers. The result is an accessible anthology that can challenge modern habits of overthinking and invite a more immediate way of seeing. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Zen as direct experience, rather than philosophy. A central message running through this collection is that Zen is not primarily an intellectual system. The pieces repeatedly steer the reader away from abstract explanations and toward direct seeing. Many selections are built around a pivot where reasoning fails and something more immediate is demanded. A monk is asked to show understanding without relying on learned formulas. Or a teacher responds in a way that seems illogical until the reader notices what is being pointed to. In that sense, the book works like a training ground for attention. It highlights how the mind tries to pin reality down with labels, how quickly it turns spiritual ideas into possessions, and how Zen repeatedly dissolves these habits. The reader learns to treat words as fingers pointing, not as the moon itself. This approach can be unsettling because it offers fewer tidy conclusions than typical self-improvement books, yet it is precisely the point. By returning the reader to the immediacy of perception, the collection suggests that clarity is available in ordinary moments when we stop demanding certainty and start meeting experience as it is. Secondly, koans and paradox as tools for awakening. Koans and paradoxical dialogues are among the most recognizable forms of Zen literature, and the collection uses them to demonstrate how Zen training destabilizes fixed viewpoints. A koan often looks like a riddle, but its purpose is not to produce a clever answer. Instead, it pushes the reader to notice the limits of linear thought. By presenting questions that cannot be solved by ordinary logic, the stories encourage a shift in consciousness, from conceptual analysis to a more intuitive, embodied understanding. The book illustrates how a teacher may respond abruptly, sometimes with humor, sometimes with severity, to interrupt the student's reliance on secondhand knowledge. These moments show Zen pedagogy as experiential and relational. The point is not the content of an answer, but the quality of mind from which it comes. For modern readers, koans can function as contemplative devices. They can be held in awareness during daily life, exposing where the mind clings, where it insists on being right, and where it resists silence. Over time, the paradox becomes less a puzzle and more a mirror. Thirdly, everyday life is the field of practice. Another important topic is the refusal to separate spiritual life from ordinary life. The stories in the collection frequently place insight in simple settings: a meal, a walk, a household task, a brief encounter. Rather than portraying awakening as an exotic achievement, Zen appears as intimacy with the present moment, including its inconveniences and imperfections. Teachers in these narratives often challenge students who chase special states, reminding them that grasping for enlightenment can be another form of attachment. In this view, practice is not limited to meditation periods, but is expressed in how one listens, speaks, works, and responds to difficulty. The book also hints at the ethical dimension of mindfulness without turning it into moralizing. A more attentive mind tends naturally toward fewer harmful reactions, because it sees consequences more clearly and has more space between impulse and action. For readers living busy lives, this emphasis is practical. You do not need a retreat schedule to begin. The collection subtly trains a reader to notice the texture of experience now and to treat daily routines as opportunities to wake up rather than obstacles to overcome. Fourthly, non-attachment, emptiness, and the freedom from fixed identity. The anthology repeatedly circles themes associated with emptiness and non-attachment, not as bleak ideas, but as liberating perspectives. Many selections undermine the assumption that the self is a solid, permanent entity that must be defended and improved. Instead, identity is shown as fluid and dependent on conditions, which opens the possibility of responding more freely. When a person is less entangled in protecting an image of self, everyday events lose some of their power to injure pride or provoke fear. The book also suggests that clinging to spiritual concepts can be as binding as clinging to material things. Emptiness in this context points to the absence of fixed essence and phenomena, which can sound abstract until it is experienced as lightness and flexibility in the mind. The collection presents this through concrete situations. A teacher exposes a student's attachment to reputation, certainty, or even compassion as an identity. Readers are invited to consider how often suffering is intensified by insisting that things must match personal narratives. Letting go does not mean indifference. It means meeting life without demanding that it conform to a rigid self-story. Lastly, lineage, tradition, and the Zen teaching style, beyond individual lessons. The book offers a window into Zen culture and teaching methods as they developed through centuries of stories and sayings. The material reflects a tradition where insight is transmitted through encounter and example as much as through doctrine. Teachers test students, sometimes gently and sometimes sharply, to reveal where understanding is performative rather than lived. The book also shows how Zen uses artful simplicity. A short anecdote can carry a complete teaching, and repetition across stories reinforces themes without turning them into slogans. For readers interested in the history of ideas, the collection hints at how Zen inherited earlier contemplative approaches and reshaped them into a distinctive style that values immediacy, disciplined practice, and a skeptical stance toward grand metaphysics. Importantly, these writings do not present Zen teachers as mere philosophers, they appear as pragmatic guides working with human habits in real time. This perspective can help contemporary readers interpret Zen beyond popular stereotypes. Instead of treating Zen as vague calmness, the collection shows it as a rigorous method of inquiry into mind, perception, and suffering, expressed through a lively, sometimes surprising literary form. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want first-hand contact with classical Zen teaching forms, rather than a modernized program. It serves meditators looking for contemplative material to sit with, seekers who feel stuck in overthinking, and students of philosophy or religion who want a taste of Zen's distinctive voice through short primary-style pieces. The benefit is practical as well as spiritual. The stories encourage more present-minded living, less attachment to rigid self-images, and a clearer view of how anxiety and frustration are often amplified by mental narratives. Because the selections are brief, a reader can return to them repeatedly and notice new layers as experience deepens. Compared with many introductory Zen books that explain Zen from the outside, this collection lets Zen speak through its traditional stories, paradoxes, and teaching encounters. That makes it valuable as a companion volume. It does not try to replace practice with explanations, and it remains usable for years as a source of reflection. If you want a compact anthology that challenges habits of mind while remaining approachable page by page, it is worth buying and revisiting. If you would like to support Paul Reps, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.